Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Two to go, side by side across the line. Ron Silk on the inside, Justin Bonsignor on the outside.
Hold your breath, racing at Richmond, bracing for the lead and the win. Ron Silk finds his way through. Justin Bonsignor back to the inside. Bonsignor with the fender out in front in three.
What a crossover from Bonsignor. Wheel to wheel up off of turn four. White flag is in the air. A dead heat at the front of the field. Bonsignor to the inside of Ronnie Silk.
This is for all the marbles. Tonight in Richmond, Ron Silk, Justin Bonsignor leaning on each other to the back straightaway. For the final time, they are still locked together for the lead in three.
Checkered flag flies at the start-finish line. Side by side, off four, Justin Bonsignor is going to get to the line. Over Ron Silk and Justin Bonsignor will score the win in the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour here tonight at the Richmond Raceway.
That's how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network as Justin Bonsignor picked up his first win of the season. The first with his newborn son, Evan, at Richmond Raceway this past weekend in the Virginia Racing's For Lovers 150. And boy, Kyle Ricci, as you join us here on NASCAR Coast to Coast in the Motor Racing Network, what a race that was. We have a lot on the docket today, first of all, to get to. We've got Bubba Pollard on the show to talk about his Richmond debut in the Xfinity Series. But where we start our show this week, hey, Rick, is that awesome race with the ground pounders at Richmond. I mean, it had a little bit of everything. Long runs, it had some dramatic, you know, racing throughout the middle of it. We had a champion or a race-winning contender, Austin Beers, wreck early, and then you had almost a photo finish there at the end.
Yeah, near photo finish between two of some of the more recent champions in Justin Bonsignor and Ron Silk. A great race. Bobby Santos was up there running toward the front of the field for a lot of the event. Good field of cars, and the boys here on the Motor Racing Network sounded like they do the modifieds every week. They did a great job, Jeff and Alex and the team. It was fun to listen to, fun to watch on Flow, and look forward to seeing more of the modifieds here in the not-too-distant future, which we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And it's always been a great event every time the Whelen Modified Tour goes to Richmond. But, you know, obviously we had some drama as well. Austin Beers crashing a huge hit early on in the race. He was pretty displeased with that. But also some names like Trevor Catalano getting inside the podium spot into third place. Bobby Santos, a legend when it comes to short track racing inside the top five. And how about Jake Johnson? I don't think we gave him enough credit. Wheeling Old Blue from damage early on. I think he was a lap down, and he comes back to a top five. And I think, Kyle, Jake Johnson will be a name that we hear plenty over the course of the season.
Yeah, driving for the Bowler family. He's had some success up here behind the wheel of that car and some of the other modified tours up here in New England. We're beginning to see him run toward the front of the field more on the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour. So good to see Old Blue. That's been around since, I think, the 60s. Don't quote me on that, but a long time with that racing family. And good to see that familiar number three on the racetrack. Patrick Emerling, the other tough luck story of the race, had that pit road entry violation where he hit the orange box, had to restart at the back of the field, and then got caught up in a restart incident. So looked like he was going to contend for the win there for a little bit. And unfortunately, you know, his day ended in the garage, not very happy when he came from the care center to talk with Steve Post. But tough break for him. Hopefully he'll rebound here this weekend.
Absolutely. And a big congratulations again to Justin Bonsignor. Of course, that championship rivalry continues into 2024. He and Ron Silk, your defending champion, off to a good start, each with a win here this year. And of course, they're back in action this weekend at Thompson. We'll get into that in a little later on in the show. Speaking of modifieds, there was a doubleheader for a couple of our Whelen Modified Tour Series regulars hopping over to the Smart Tour. They were racing at Tri-County over the weekend. But it was Rocket Man, Ryan Newman, finally getting a tour win. He had a little bit of a struggle at Richmond, Kyle, on Friday, but turned it around on Saturday, picked up the win with the Smart Tour in a good race with Jimmy Blewett there out at Tri-County.
Tom Buzzi finished in the third spot. First time we've talked about him this season with a good top five effort. Carson Lofton, the winner of the first two races. Luke Baldwin, the winner of race number two, or make that three on the year at South Boston, finished in fifth. Good feel of the cars, not a lot of yellow, not a lot of carnage. And yeah, Ryan Newman, for the most part, class of the field there. Nice to see him get his first modified win, and or at least in the Smart Tour. He's won up here in the North before on the modified tour. And see if he can challenge for the championship. The streak, I think there's only, what, one race left. I know they're going to go to Rougemont this week, and then Bowman Gray's going to open, which is kind of how the Smart Modified Tour works their schedule around Bowman Gray, because of just the scheduling or how things are scheduled down there. So it's going to be interesting to see how this streak ends out, see if we can get another new winner, or maybe if Ryan Newman can continue his winning ways from a week ago.
Well, he, Carson Lofton, and Luke Baldwin, who won the big 20,000 to win King of the Modifieds last week, are right up there in the championship hunt. So yep. It's certainly not, it's certainly a good race, especially as we get to hit that break for sure. We'll see what happens this weekend. Before we get to some grassroots action over the weekend, don't forget ARCA West. We were probably thinking, well, where's that update? Well, they unfortunately, Mother Nature put a kaputz to that. They rained out. So unfortunately, they're going to be postponed until July 6th, making that weekend a doubleheader, as they are also scheduled to race July 4th at Irwindale Speedway. So a little back-to-back for the ARCA West drivers out there in Southern California. Next event for them, April 20th at Kevin Harvick's Kern County. All right, Dominion had their opening. Speaking of NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series racetracks, Dominion Raceway opened up with a bang. I know some of our MRN crew were there. A lot of NASCAR folks made the trip from Richmond over the weekend. Doug Barnes won the second annual Dickey Boswell Memorial 200, celebrating the life of Dickey, who, by the way, father of Richard Boswell, crew chief in the NASCAR Cup Series late model stock event. And boy, what a race it was, Kyle. But a great story for Doug Barnes, who literally thought he was going to watch this race from his couch 2 weeks ago, but got a deal put together.
Got the deal put together at a racetrack that he has run well at over the years, and was able to pick up the win. Nice to see a good turnout. I know a lot of, like you mentioned, a lot of our guys from the Motor Racing Network went up there following the NASCAR Xfinity Series event at the Richmond Raceway and was able to take in the action. Chase Briscoe was there in attendance as well. So good event, good car count, and you know, Doug Barnes, a name that we've talked about for many years here on the late model scene, and did it again.
Yeah, and we'll see if he can turn that race win, his second in that event, that second annual event, is going to maybe turn into maybe something a little more full-time this year. He lost his full-time ride to funding just a couple weeks ago, didn't know if he was going to race, and then picked up this one. We'll see if that leads to something else. The other thing I had on my calendar, Kyle, we talked about it last week just for a bit, the return for Ward Burton to racing for the first time since 2012, holding or racing with his son Jeb Burton in the Orange Crush 200 at Orange County. But it was another grassroots racer that we've seen dabble in the Craftsman Truck Series, Hayden Honeycutt, getting his first late model stock win since 2022 out there at Orange County. A great event and a lot of stars, Kyle, in that event. I mean, when you talk about Deke McCaskill and the like, a really, really good field of cars out there at Orange County.
Bobby McCarty, another driver that we talk about a lot, getting a podium finish. You mentioned Ward. I believe he finished mid-pack in about the 15th position. Jeb, a much better day, just outside of the top five in six. And how about Timothy Peters, a name that you know, we talked about weekly here on the Motor Racing Network for a long time when he was with Red Horse Racing in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, one of the nicest guys in the pits. Kind of disappeared from the truck world. We would see him once a year at the late model race at the Martinsville Speedway. Now he's beginning to pop up more at some of these bigger late model stock events down south. And he had another good run as well, finishing among the top 10. So good to see old TP back on the racetrack and doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what'd you think about that halfway redraw? They stopped the cars at the halfway point, 100 laps in, did a redraw to kind of get the lineup going for the second half of the race. You like that kind of halfway action? Let's reset things.
No, I mean, it adds a little intrigue, but I've never been a big fan of let's stop the race at halfway and spin a wheel and see who we're going to invert. Are we going to invert the whole field? Are we going to invert the top 10 or the top four? It can be fun, but I like pre-race redraws. versus middle of the event redraws.
Right.
Just
right.
my
adds a little too take. Much luck into the equation versus
Correct.
Talent, I think. But for sure. I mean, it definitely added, as a fan, it added some intrigue, definitely. Our guest coming up here is Bubba Pollard, who was all the talk of the short track NASCAR regional world, getting his shot at the big time in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Richmond Raceway over the weekend, running for Junior Motorsports in that 88 car. Finished sixth, Kyle, and just that alone was not only impressive, but it was the way he did it. Coming from the back, had to start 37th, made his way through the field, of course, learning every lap, only had 20 minutes of practice, had to qualify and then go race, had to do pit stops. Just overall, what did you think of Bubba's debut? I thought, it was a long time coming, but two, he really, really impressed a lot of people.
Kind of a roller coaster day, you know, so good in practice early in the morning. As you mentioned, the car had no owner's point, so he had to go out first in qualifying, and that's not the preferred spot. It never has been, no matter the format, whether it's group qualifying or single car qualifying or multiple rounds. And he went out first, and you know, I think he'll tell us here in a little bit that it wasn't the smoothest lap of his life, and unfortunately, he had to start at the back. But you know, he methodically made his way to the front, had a couple of early cautions to help him you know, chat with his team and kind of figure the car out, figure the track out as it, you know, changed from the practice session several hours earlier, and was able to put together a good run. I think a very impressive debut, just outside of the top five. And I think we're going to see, hopefully we'll see more of him on the big stages here across the country in that series.
Absolutely. That would be awesome for sure. Well, let's ask Bubba. He's standing by here as we take a quick break on Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network. Bubba Pollard coming up next. We're going to discuss Xfinity Series and, of course, his racing schedule for 2024. That's coming up next here on the Motor Racing Network.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready. Be RE equipped.
Series finishing sixth at Richmond. Bub, it's been a couple days, but what have the reactions been like? Have you been able to realize that that just happened and you finally got, you know, not only the opportunity, but a top 10 finish out of the deal?
Yeah, it's been crazy. The response from all the fans, the media, just the short track community. It's been crazy. It's been wild. Never would have, you know, thought we would have gotten a response that we did. So I'm glad I could back it up and come out with a good finish. That's for sure. So I'm glad. I hope I made everyone proud.
And take us through the weekend, obviously practice and qualifying in much different conditions than the race. You know, how did the track change and how did you adapt to all that as a first timer?
Well, really it was an up and down day. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, everything was going to be new for me, but I had good people around me that kept me calm when things got bad. We went top of the board there right out of practice, and it really surprised me. I had no idea. The plan was to run, you know, the 20 minutes there, run it out, like run the whole time, just enough to get the experience and things like that. So with the 88 being the first time running this year, we had no points, so we were going to go out first to qualifying. And I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, had the horror stories of going out first. So that's in the back of my head. I got people, you know, trying to tell me some other things, and I just people, you know, helping out. And it's a lot to take in. And I stayed in the car, rolled right out there, and man, I messed up qualifying pretty bad. And I knew I kind of beat myself up there. I was down and out, not only for me, but just the team, because they worked so hard and I'd let them down. So they kept me pumped up. We went back and watched the data, studied it a little bit, and with everything that went on in practice, we were running times top three, top five there. So we knew we had a good race car. I just had to do my part. Luckily, you know, we started 37th there and drove to the front. So I feel like we could have possibly run a top three, if not a little better. I know it's far-fetched to say win the race, but I feel like we were pretty good there. I struggled on pit road with that. We'd lose 4 or 5 spots at a time, and that was tough for us. So, man, it's just it was a tough day, but we had a good outcome, and glad we could run top 10 there.
It was cool to see everybody. You know, I think I saw a tweet from Mamba Smith just saying, we've seen the story before, Bubba coming from the back, so nobody worry, even though he's starting 37th. Like, it's not going to last for long, and it didn't. How tough was it, though, over the course of that race to manage your tires and things like that, but also have to make up those positions? Like you said, losing a few on pit road, you're always having to gain some more cars. I mean, you probably passed the most cars during the race. So how were you able to manage all that?
Well, I tell you what, I know it sounds crazy, but I think it done me some good starting in the rear. I think it kind of gave me a sense of comfort there to be able to pass some race cars, to start around some, I shouldn't say, I feel like we were a lot better than the cars in front of us, the first 10. So running around those cars kind of helped me get the feel of things and what kind of pace I needed to run. And where I needed to be on the racetrack. The racetrack, I struggled with it being quite a bit different than what I'm used to, what I expected. So it took me a little bit, about lap 40 or 50, we had a caution there, and I started feeling comfortable. You know, we made our way up to the top 14 or 15 there pretty early on in the race. So I think starting in the rear might have really, you know, helped me out.
You mentioned a moment ago, 20 minutes of practice, that's it. And that's been the norm now the last couple of years. What did you do to prepare before that practice session on Saturday morning?
Oh, man, the junior guys have done a great job trying to send me as much data as I could to study. I've watched replays of the other races. I've done some sim time, which didn't go so well for me. I got a little sick there that first sim. But we come back the Wednesday before and were able to run a static sim there, which helped out a lot, which that was all new to me too. So looking back on everything, I was like, man, you know, this sim, I don't know if it really correlates to what's going to happen in real life race car. But after racing the race and then coming back and learning the sim, there's a lot that I wish I could do over again to use it to my advantage. I kind of brushed it off a little bit, and they kept telling me, hey, some people say, hey, it's real life. It kind of works, but it kind of don't. So I was kind of going back and forth there with it, but man, they prepared me well. We had, you know, TJ Major spotting, and he helped me out a lot. So I had a lot of good people.
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
To help me out that weekend.
Yeah, one of the best on the roof for sure. And a lot of good people down there helping you out, including some short trackers themselves. Carson Quapple was there to cheer you on. Noah Gregson, your good friend, was down there. I saw Connor Zilich. Obviously, super fan TJ was down there as well. What did that mean to you to have those guys be there pre-race? Obviously, it was an emotional time. I know some of your family members were getting emotional seeing you on the grid. But what did all that mean to you to have that support there going into the race?
It did. I mean, it was very important. I was telling people I kind of did this whole process kind of alone in a way, because I've always had my guys with me. I've always had the people who helped me on my team, my family, and things like that. So I kind of felt out of place. But man, when Friday come, race time, Saturday, I had all those people there. And then I had guys like Noah and Josh, and there's so many. Chris Gavehart reached out. Ryan Priest, I know I'm forgetting somebody, but there's a lot of people that reached out, and having Carson there, I'm excited to see what Carson does this weekend. I think he's a good little race car driver, and excited for that. But man, it's just having the fans and everyone there was awesome. It made me feel back to normal, I would say, and just go out there and do what I do every weekend and have fun and have a good weekend.
We've talked for a long time about the disconnect or what had been a disconnect between the grassroots racers and the National Series drivers in the NASCAR world. How important is it for you guys to find success at that level? We've kind of always seen it in the trucks, but you mentioned Ryan Preece and Chase Briscoe and some of these other guys, Josh Berry, finding success now at the Cup level. I mean, you know, how important is it now that we're seeing more of it here the last 2 or 3 years?
Well, I think it's I think NASCAR is kind of going through a transition there to where you're seeing a lot of these short track guys get a chance. And when they do get a chance, they're performing, like Wright Preece and like Josh. There's a lot of great race car drivers out there that run short tracks that never get seen, never get heard about. And I'm lucky enough to have my chance this weekend. But, you know, it's just kind of the way NASCAR, you know, has changed. I feel like, you know, the direction it was headed versus where it is now. I think that's why you're seeing some of these guys get their shots. I think you're seeing some of them too get their shots because of the streaming, because of social media, the platforms. There's a lot of reasons I think that a lot of these guys are getting their chances. Now, you always heard of the Ryan Preeces, but now a lot of these guys are getting to really showcase it because you can watch it and stream it online and things like that. So there's a lot of different reasons, but there's a lot of great talent out there. And I was thankful to just, you know, hopefully make some people proud this weekend.
Yeah, I think you did for sure. And I know it was a long time coming. I think anybody in the garage area NASCAR pointed to you as a guy they wanted to see get a shot, and rightfully so. Okay, so speaking of which, and you just said that there are some drivers out there that maybe deserve a shot, who would you like to see next? I mean, obviously you had yourself. We get Carson Quapel in the 88. Who else would you like to see from the grassroots level get a shot?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good guys out there. I think there's some old-timers. I'm like a Lee Pulliam fan, you know what I mean? Like, that guy, you know, he won a lot of races. He's older. He's probably a little bit older than I am or my age. But guys like that, the old school that kind of, you know, been racing forever, it would be cool to see him get a chance. But like all those guys in the Cars Tour, they man, that deal is competitive. It's tough. You really got to be smart to win those races and in any type of racing. So, man, I don't know. I'm more of an old school guy like myself that maybe didn't get a shot. You're going to see a lot of these young guys like Brandon McQueen and some of the other ones get those shots. Now Jake Finch is coming up. You know, he's been on fire here the last couple of weeks. I feel like he's stepped his game up. And so you're going to see some guys, I think, in the next couple of years move on up to the next level.
Final question for you for me. Now that Richmond is behind you, what's ahead here in the coming weeks for you, one of the busier short trackers out there?
Man, so it's kind of – this. The last month's been absolutely crazy. We've been – getting preparing for Richmond, and then I've had a busy schedule with the ARCA race at Five Flags and all my ASA races and stuff like that. So the month of April for us and May is kind of don't have much going on. We kind of our time off, but when we get June, July, August, man, we're racing about every weekend during the week and everything. But we race at Montgomery here the 13th. We go back to Five Flags on the 25th, and I think we got a couple weeks off until we go to Hickory the weekend of Charlotte. I'm not sure when the date is. It's on a Thursday. So we'd love for everybody to come out and support ASA there. And it'd be a good race. There's some good talent in the ASA right now, and they're putting on some great races. So we've had a great year. We've won 3 out of 4 races that we've ran this year. We just got to keep that momentum going and see if we can't and win some more races.
Absolutely. Now, you know, obviously when you take part in an Xfinity Series race, you got, you know, your debut out of the way. Did that scratch an itch? Like maybe like, okay, like is there another maybe opportunity down the road, whether it's trucks or Xfinity, or are you kind of the, you know what, I had my opportunity, it was a dream come true, and I'm kind of good with that. Where do you stand on maybe getting another opportunity down the road?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, I kind of, as a racer, I want to go race. Like I'm ready tomorrow. Like let's go to Martinsville. Let's find something. But I think the right opportunity would have to come. I think I'm to the point in life where I want to do it with a good team, a team that's capable of winning each and every week, because I'm happy doing what I do. I enjoy doing and racing at short track level. I win races. And to me, it's all about win races at the end of the day. So if the opportunity come about, who knows? I really don't know. And I guess, who knows? We might not ever know, I guess. We'll see.
Stay tuned. Maybe we'll find out later on this year. Any pressure you think for Carson? Are you going to message him a little tidbits and tools of the trade here before he gets going this weekend?
We talked after the race a pretty good bit about what was different for me and what I struggle with and my struggles. And I think they made some changes this week, or they were working on making some changes to make him a little more comfortable under braking and things like that. So, yeah, I think he's going to do great. He's got some experience there at Martinsville. He's a good little racer. He's a hardworking man. When you see him in the pits or wherever, racing with his brothers and his dad, I mean, it's a hardworking family. And that's what I like to see. So I'm excited for him to do well.
Us too. Well, hey, we appreciate it. Congratulations on a great weekend. And best of luck down the road as your schedule kind of cools off for a little bit. But I know it's about to get rolling back up here not before long.
Sounds good. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bubba Pollard, sixth place finish, Xfinity Series debut for Junior Motorsports. Appreciate your time. All right, coming up next, we got plenty more coming. A little debate segment, some news and notes, and of course, the schedule here on NASCAR Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
I like the tease. Like, would he race in the Xfinity Series again? Absolutely, if the right opportunity comes along. Well, he had a great opportunity at Junior Motorsports. Come on, Dale, put him in a couple more short tracks this year. What do you think?
Made the best of it, no doubt. And it was news that we've been waiting to hear for years. Bubba, obviously, one of, if not the best short trackers out there. He's run in all of the big events, some multiple times. So it's a shot that he has deserved, and he made the most of it. I think if he was full-time, he'd challenge the title. No doubt in my mind, he would be at least a playoff contender that first year.
100%. Well, he mentioned old school racers that he is. Well, speaking of old school, see the news this week coming out of North Wilkesboro Speedway. Among their cleanup for All-Star Weekend coming up next month, they discovered a little bit of a sinkhole, and turns out possible moonshine still was underneath the grandstands in turn one. What?
You never know. I mean, I don't think so, but you never know what went on there in the 40s and 50s, I guess.
I mean, Wilkes County, you never know.
And I love these stories, and that's what they are. They're stories. They're fun. Hopefully, you know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But, I mean, we have some of these tales up here at some of our older racetracks. You know, Thompson International Speedway, built in 1940. And some of the stories that I have heard about that place and what went on there under the grandstands with all sorts of gambling and such. It is fun. And this is another one of those fun stories that, you know, this may have been built into the property, you know, many, many decades ago, or it could just be a sinkhole. And yeah, we may never know.
That's true. We may never know. And repairs are already underway, obviously, as they get set for All-Star Weekend. 700 square feet is what they found underneath there. So pretty good size. And yep. Certainly the tales are coming out about that, but pretty cool stuff happening that we heard about over the weekend. Speaking of over the weekend, as we put a bow on Richmond Raceway, there was a lot of debate, Kyle, about Denny Hamlin's restart and if he jumped it or not. And obviously we could talk about that for years. Elton Sawyer addressed that earlier this week on plenty of the social media and media channels, including our Mike Bagley's own TMD on SiriusXM. But what were your thoughts? And I guess how can, because this is also going to happen in short track racing, how do you officiate that? Because it is such a hard call. And again, we don't have opportunities to take timeouts and go to the replay room like we do in the NBA or NFL. So is there anything that can be done? What do you think?
There's a lot of hard calls that they make every week. I think I think it should have at least been looked at. I mean, how many races do we end at Daytona and Talladega where we wait and we wait and we wait to see if it was a legal finish? Did so-and-so go below the yellow line? Did so-and-so do this or do that over the final, you know, usually it's an overtime green, white checker finish. And there's, I don't think there's an issue in taking a minute or two and getting it right. And to not even, you know, just to just say, yep, restart's good. Okay. You know, a lot of people quickly saw the restart wasn't good. Yeah. At least look at it. You don't need to act. You could say, yeah, you know, he went a little early, but, you know, we're good with that. Maybe that's something they didn't want to do in the heat of the moment because of, you know, potentially more backlash. But, you know, I mean, I've been to several super speedway events, especially where you just wait, you know, and they review the tape and you figure out who was legal and who was where. And when the caution came out or if they did go below the yellow line or in the Xfinity series, if there was a big push down the backstretch that you couldn't do, this is just another one of those that, you know, they probably could have taken a little bit more time to at least look at.
I agree. Absolutely. And I think Elton Sawyer hit the nail on the head too, saying if that would have been something they would have looked at during the race, it'd be different, but it wasn't really brought to their attention according to them until later. And so once, of course, the checkered flag falls, it's really hard to go back and overturn that. But very interesting now as we look at the term rolling into the restart zone and whether that constitutes jumping. I don't know. That's another debate for another time, but interesting stuff. All right, K-Rick, before we let everybody go, we got the schedule coming up this week and your neck of the woods is finally opening up to a racetrack, and that is Thompson Speedway. Not only is it opening weekend, but for the first time in 5 years, the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour is going to be a part of opening weekend with the Icebreaker 150 coming up on Sunday, April 7th. You can watch that on Flow Racing. What do you think, Kyle? It's one of the iconic tracks in New England, finally opening its doors. Icebreaker's the name. I'm hoping we don't have to deal with any of that coming up this weekend.
And I kid you not, it's supposed to snow this week here in Northeast Connecticut on Thursday as this show airs. So hopefully it's only a coating. The temperatures are supposed to warm up to 50 on Saturday, so it's going to melt, but it's also going to rain. So Sunday looks good right now. 25 cars, I believe, on the entry list. Justin Bonsignor usually has that place figured out, no matter, you know, what he races there, whether it be on the NASCAR Modified Tour or some of the other modified series that compete there. He does well. I think there was a stretch where he won four or five in a row back in 2017, 2018. So he'll be strong. Ron Silk will be strong. A lot of the familiar faces will be toward, I'm sure, the front of the field. It's going to be a good show on Sunday afternoon for the NASCAR Modifieds.
100%. He and Ron Silk were winners there last year. Of course, another two dates on the schedule for Thompson here in 2024. And Justin Bonsignor is now one win away from tying Ted Christopher as number three all time in the tour wins list, too. So something to keep your eye on this weekend. Again, that race on Sunday out at Thompson Speedway. Of course, they've got their full slate of cars in their regular schedule as well. Speaking of cars, Cars Tour back at Hickory for the first time this year with late model stocks and pro late models. Remember, this is one of the races that Carson Quapel is going to miss because, of course, he's running the Xfinity race out at Martinsville Speedway on Saturday. So, Kyle, it opens the door for, you know, another championship contender to capitalize. Obviously, Carson's had a great start to this year, but what do you think? Two visits here this year again, one of those being throwback weekend later on this year, but Hickory always proves to be one of the best races of the year when it comes to the Cars Tour.
It is. I feel like Hickory's like the home track. I know the Cars Tour doesn't have a home racetrack per se. They are a touring division, but you know, you talk about the NASCAR Modifieds in Thompson. You talk about the Cars Tour and Hickory Motor Speedway. I expect great fields of cars. The entry lists have been released. And yeah, you're right. Carson Quapel is going to be tough to beat when they go green on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and last year he beat Connor Hall by like 25 thousandths of a second in a photo finish much. And Connor Hall, as we mentioned, already doing amazing things. 9 wins this year on the NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Tour. Swept Hickory races last weekend on their local schedule, so keep an eye on him coming into this weekend for the Cars Tour. Smart Tour, as Kyle mentioned at the top of the show, in Rougemont at Orange County Speedway to kind of finish up their first burst of the season. We mentioned Ryan Newman coming off that big win. What do you think? Does it come down to Newman and Carson Lofton for the win this weekend?
Well, and I think Ryan Newman, potentially, maybe Bobby Labonte will get up there and contend for a win. I'd like to see Anthony Bello. I think he's going back down there. I think he's going to try to do the double with Thompson on Sunday. There's a couple of those drivers that might be in the mix, trying to do the smart NASCAR double. We'll see. I think the entry list looks good right now as they begin to, like you mentioned, to wrap up their first kind of stretch of the season. I like Ryan Newman. He's got momentum right now. He's got the confidence. He's getting more and more comfortable behind the wheel of Modified on that tour. We'll see how he does come this weekend.
Looking forward to it again on Saturday, April 6th. You can watch that race on Flow Racing as well. And speaking of Thompson being a track opening up this weekend, so too are another two racetracks a little bit closer to our neck of the woods here at MRN in the Southeast. Larry King Laws Langley Speedway is opening up this weekend, as is Nashville Fairground Speedway. So a couple iconic racetracks getting their 2024 seasons underway. So too, by the way, are the Allen Turner Pro Late Models at Five Flags Speedway. So a lot more racing coming up this weekend. Hey, Rick, your driver of the week this week. I'm going to add one because I found a really cool story over the weekend, but I'm curious to see who you have for your driver of the week this week.
We talked about him briefly a little bit ago. Trevor Catalano finished third in the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour race, was among all the champions on the racetrack that night. Justin Bonsignor, Ron Silk, Bobby Santos. He finished in the third spot, 17 years old, comes from a racing family in New York. Second career start, coming off of a decent run at the New Smyrna Speedway back in February. So Trevor Catalano, my driver of the week, a great effort at the Richmond Raceway with all the stars of the series this past Friday night.
100%. And normally this is Kyle's segment, so I let him run with it. But I had to add a little shout out because Augie Grill, and you probably have heard that name if you follow the Pro All-Star Series and even ACT over the last several years, won a lot of big races. He did the old Danny Sullivan Indy 500 spin and win over the weekend at the Georgia Nationals in the Pro Late Model event out there over the weekend at Cordell. Spun early on in the race, went to the tail, and ran all the way through to win the Georgia Nationals in the Pro Late Model. So spin and win in the Indy 500 reference. As a fellow Hoosier, I had to throw that one in there. But the old Danny Sullivan spin and win for Augie Grill. So impressive performance of the weekend, if we want to go with that, for Augie Grill. All right, well, we've got a lot of racing for you on your schedule. Of course, you heard your schedule for short track racing. If you're interested in the NASCAR National Series, well, MRN is your home. Once again, we go back to the short track this time. It's the Paperclip at Martinsville Speedway. Long John Silver's 200 kicks us off on Friday night for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, 7 p.m. airtime on the Motor Racing Network. Cole Custer is going to be in the booth, Xfinity Series champion of a year ago. And then, of course, Saturday, Cup Series practice and qualifying on MRN at 4:30 Eastern time, and the Dew Whites 250 for the Xfinity Series and Carson Quapple's debut in the Junior Motorsports 88 at 7 p.m. Eastern Saturday night, all leading into the Cookout 400 for the Cup Series on Sunday. NASCAR Live Race Day goes live at 2:00. So Kyle, I assume, because Stafford's still a few weeks away from opening, you're going to be venturing up to Thompson this weekend.
I will be. Mother Nature hopefully will cooperate. Big weekend, two-day show. The Tri-Track Series for the Modifieds opens up the weekend on Saturday, along with a couple of the local divisions. Same thing on Sunday with SK Light Modifieds and the local Modifieds, along with the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour. So, yeah, get out and support your local short track. However, if you're like in the Midwest where there is snow on the ground and it's still pretty cold, you have no shortage of options this weekend as far as streaming is concerned between Smart Modifieds, the Cars Tour, the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour, the National Series, all three in action at the Martinsville Speedway. A lot happening here as the season is finally hitting high gear.
100%. The sun is out down here in the Carolinas, so that means racing is underway and for sure lots going on. I will be tuned into everything on MRN and, of course, Flow Racing. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Bubba Pollard, for joining us. What a great show we had for you this week. For our producer, Pat Jaggers, Kyle Rickey, my name is Chris Wilner. Thanks for tuning in to NASCAR Coast to Coast here on MRN. Of course, we'll break it all down next week.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in. Four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.